Well, good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. It's good to be here together. After kind of a gloomy day yesterday, it's nice to see the sun shining. It's supposed to be nice and 70 degrees. Got to soak up this temperatures while we have them, right? But as you know, if you've been here at all in October, we're going through a series on church, more than a building. This is a picture of our current building where we meet. But as I was thinking about this series, it's kind of appropriate, I think, as far as church is more than just a building. That's kind of built into the DNA of Cedar Creek. And the reason I say that is when I got involved a number of years ago, we met in a house. What was then Cedar Creek at that time met in a house. It was a big house down about a block from the YMCA downtown. And it had a big living room and a dining room, and we could kind of open it up and we could pack a lot of people in that house. And a bunch of guys lived upstairs, and you could just come down in your stocking feet, go to church. So that, and then we kind of outgrew the living room. So then we rented a movie theater on Sunday mornings to meet in. It's now the Budget Twin or Budget Theater downtown on Barstow Street. And we had to get there early in the morning and sweep up from the Saturday night movies, the popcorn and soda cups and all that. We had to sweep them and shovel them up before we could meet there. And the floor was always sticky. I don't know. I think our movie theaters are carpeted now mostly. This was not carpeted. It was sticky. And so we met there for a while. So a movie theater. And then we really stepped up, and we started renting and meeting in a funeral home. That worked out well, actually. It was a good place to meet, had a nice little chapel, and it was the floor wasn't sticky like the movie theater. You needed to be careful what rooms you went into, lest you meet someone who was just lying about. The older kids used to joke about that, about being afraid to open certain doors. But anyway, and then we moved a few blocks away. We bought a building. It was a former halfway house. So then we renovated a halfway house. We met there. And then eventually we moved into this building. Actually, this building was located a little ways over there originally, and then we moved it. So we have been more than a building, because what was constant through all of those places, a living room, a theater, a funeral home, it was the people. It was a group of people that were joined together to meet together and function as a church together. So it is definitely in our DNA to consider church is more than a building. And so today we're going to continue this series, and we're going to talk about church. What is it good for? And what is it good for? So let's pray with me, and then we'll get into it. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are present. God, I tell you that we need you today. Need you every day. Need you to be present with us. Need you to teach us. Need you to hold us, direct us. Thank you that you do that. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can look at your word and learn about you and about us. And so commit this time this morning to you. Ask that you would use it and teach us. Help us to be open to what you might say to us. Amen. So what is it good for? I want to start off by talking about a few ideas that I think might be typical of what people see as the primary purpose, the primary role of the church. Because I want to answer, I guess, two questions. What is the role of the church in our society, in the world? What is the role of the church? You know, we started out this series talking about the universal church, that is all those who are followers of Jesus Christ in the world. And then the local church. And so what is the role of the church in society and in our communities? And then what's the church's role in my life? What does the church influence me? And so I wanted to first talk about some common ideas about what the role of the church is in society, in our culture, in our world. And the first one, I think, is folks sometimes see that the role of the church is to be the upholder of truth. It's the conscience of the culture, so to speak. It's the accuser, maybe, of all that's wrong in the world. And it's the organization that would point out maybe the what isn't right. It's the upholder of truth. Is that what the primary role of the church is, to be that that standard, so to speak? Another role that folks might see as or perceive as the role of the Christian church is that the church's role is to alleviate ills in the world, hunger, poverty, injustice, that the church's primary role and primary function is to alleviate those things, to address those social ills, so to speak, to address injustice, to provide for those that are needy, to provide shelter and clothing and food, those kind of, to meet those physical needs. For many, that they would say that is the primary role of the church in our world. Another idea about the role of the church would be to bring about God's kingdom here on earth, that we would make things right here in this world, that we would influence the culture to the extent that it would be like God's kingdom here on earth, that if we had the right leaders, if we elect the right leaders, if we get the right laws on the books, then God's kingdom would be happening here, that we would have accomplished that. Is that the role of the church, to see that happen? Another idea about what the role of the church is that it's a safe haven. It's a refuge. It's a place that Jesus' followers can be insulated, can be safe, can be isolated from the world and be unstained by the world and keep the world out, and it's us inside the fence, so to speak. And is that the role of the church at large, is that it would be a safe haven? It would be a refuge, a island of protection. We will get back to those things, but those are some of the things that I think folks may perceive as the role of the church in our society. I want to look at a couple of verses and talk about what I think is the primary role, according to what I see in the New Testament. In Matthew 28, the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. He had been about his earthly ministry for several years. He had died, been crucified. He was dead, buried, resurrected. And then he had appeared to his followers over several weeks. And then he was leaving physically, finally, and going to his Father. And he gave them these directions, or this command. In Matthew 28:19, it says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." Many of us know that as the Great Commission. He commissioned his followers to go and make disciples, to go. He said elsewhere that as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Jesus said that to us. And Jesus said that the purpose that he came for was to seek and to save the lost. So he came to seek and to save those who were lost, and he was sending his followers to do the same. And there's a picture or a in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, a picture of this or a description of this that makes a lot of sense to me and hopefully to you as well. It's in 2 Corinthians 5, let's see, starting in verse 18. "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This makes a lot of sense to me. This is the message of the mission that Jesus left us with, to speak a message of reconciliation. And what is reconciliation? Reconciliation is when there's two parties that are separated, that are estranged, that are apart. And reconciliation is that action of bringing them together. And so here in this passage it says, we have been reconciled through Christ to God. And that's what the good news is about, that Jesus was preaching, that he, through his life and death and resurrection, he reconciled us, brought us back to God. And that is the message, and that is the mission that we have, is to be proclaiming that message of reconciliation. It says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. What's an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who lives in another country, in our vernacular, that lives in another country and represents their home country in another place. They represent and promote the interests of their home country. So we have, the United States has ambassadors all over the world. They live in another country. They represent us. They represent our country in another place. And we are called to be Christ's ambassadors. So I believe the overarching role of the church in our world is to be bringing that message of reconciliation, the message of hope, of grace, and forgiveness to the world. And we are the ambassadors. And you know, Lord, that's largely, you might say that's the role of the church, but how is that carried out? Is that carried out as an institution? As an institution, does the church proclaim that? Does the church accomplish that? And I think it's largely a person-to-person effort. It's a person-to-person exchange that the church, again, is more than a building, more than an institution. It's people. It's us. It's you and I. And it's a person-to-person effort. And people know or see what the church does or what the church believes, what the church stands for, by what they see individuals doing. If I identify with Cedar Creek Church, for instance, among my coworkers, which I do, and they may not know much about what Cedar Creek Church is, stands for, believes, but they know me, they see me, they hear what I say, they see how I treat others, they see what things I value. It's an individual that they see. That's a little bit daunting sometimes when you think about, I am the representation of Cedar Creek Church, or I'm the representation of Jesus to those folks. I may be what they perceive as, well, that's what those Christians are like him. That's sobering, isn't it? You know, Cedar Creek can't love your neighbor like you can, can't unselfishly serve your coworker like you can. It's an individual, it's a person-to-person thing. You know, and like I said, it's a bit daunting when you think that how you're perceived may be how Christians in general or this church or the church at large is perceived. A number of years ago, I was working as a manager and I had an employee that had some performance issues, let's say, and we were working on them, or at least I was. They was trying to help them work on their performance issues, and you know, if you've ever been in a situation like that, there's a potential to say things maybe that could be harsh or unkind. Well, as in the midst of this, about that time, one Sunday morning, I came into church, And that employee was here at church that Sunday morning. And that was kind of like, ooh, this is unexpected. But how I dealt with them at work, was that consistent with them seeing me here at church? I wasn't speaking, but if I had been, would they have sat there thinking, what is he doing up there, the way he treats me at work, you know? So it can be rather daunting, but you don't know who might show up on a Sunday. And it affects how I treat folks. And I want to be consistent in my behavior here, there. I'm not something here that I'm not in the workplace. So as followers of Jesus, we won't fulfill his purpose simply by going to church. Simply by showing up, by checking in, we won't accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. We will accomplish that by being his church, by being his body here in this community. And church is not a spectator sport. Sometimes I wish it was. I wish I could come in and watch, sing maybe a little bit, and then go. It's not like the Packer game. And I know people who think that what they do in their living room during the Packer game affects the outcome. I talked to a guy once, and he sat down to watch the game, and he realized he had the home team jersey on instead of the away jersey, and he was terrified that he was going to cause them to lose. I got to break it to you. If you're one of those people, it doesn't make any difference on the outcome of the Packer game what you do in your living room. It does make a difference on the outcome of the church, what you do in the church. It's not a spectator sport. We want to engage, want to be the church, not go to church. And there's a couple of verses I want to read, one in Philippians 2:14, and just about the impact that we as individuals in our, as we go about life, can have. Philippians 2:14 says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation." So he's talking to people who are in a culture or in a society that was corrupt. It was not good. It was warped and crooked. And it says, so if you live amongst them as children of God, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. I like that picture. You'll shine among them. You'll stick out. You'll appear different by your behavior, by your good behavior. There's another one in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:12 says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." So our actions, our interactions with folks will stand out if we're pursuing God and living for him. We will stick out. We will have an impact around us. So let's talk just a minute, go back to those four ideas about the church's role, just real briefly and highlight. So one, is the church primarily to uphold the truth? Well, as I said, I don't think that's the primary reason or primary role, but indeed, as individuals, the way we live, the things we honor, the things, how we conduct ourselves, we are upholders of truth, upholders of what's right in our culture, in our society, in our community, as we live consistent with what we see in God's word. We shine like stars as we, in a crooked and mixed up world. Alleviate hunger, poverty, injustice. God is concerned about the poor. God is concerned about the poor physically, emotionally, the poor are in many facets of life. And God is concerned about the poor. He draws near to the humble, it says. He opposes the proud. And we, the way we live our lives, we should live as compassionate, caring individuals because God's called us to be that way and to carry out that care. I was encouraged. There's a newsletter in the foyer that talks about some of the churches we're affiliated with in the outreaches that they're doing, for instance, in Europe. And some of these men and women are seeking to meet the needs and come alongside the refugees in Europe. And those people are needy. They're poor. And they are coming along with compassion and with good news for those folks. And that's how that happens. Bringing about God's kingdom on earth, is that the purpose? That one's a little harder to understand as far as individuals. As I look at the New Testament and Paul's writings, for instance, I don't see that he was awfully concerned about the government. He told us to honor the government, pray for the leaders, but he was involved in spreading the good news, this message of reconciliation, not seeking to bring about a political revolution, so to speak. He was concerned about a spiritual revolution. And the government then was not necessarily benevolent. Is the church an island of protection? Is it a refuge? Is it a safe place for us? Most definitely. We need a place to come. We need a place to be refreshed. We need a place to come and connect with people that are like-minded and can encourage us and correct us and help us along the way. We certainly want to be a refuge as we seek to influence those around us. So the work of the church is carried out primarily by individual interactions, right? It's by person to person. But it's not by going solo. Many of us are inclined towards independence, that we think, well, I'd do just fine by myself. I'd be fine on my own. I can get what I need from here, and I know how to get what I need from there, and I don't really need to get too connected anywhere because I'm kind of want to keep it loose, and I want to be free to kind of follow my own path. That's some of our tendencies. Some of you probably have those same tendencies. We can get a little bit here, get a little there, but we need each other. We need to be in contact with people that know us and people that we know. People that know us, because that's how we can be influenced by others and how others can help direct us. The church is an organism. The church is a body. It's interdependent. In a couple of weeks, Justin's going to talk about the church as a body and the many parts and different functions. We can accomplish more, even as you think about those things as far as caring for the poor, being a refuge, affecting our culture. We can do more as a group than we can as individuals. We can be more together than we are alone. So what's the role of the church in my life? So that's kind of the role of the church in general, but so what is the role of the church in my life? I'm going to turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:11 says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up till we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. To equip. God gave his church various inputs, pastors, teachers, prophets, various inputs to equip us. To equip us. What is he to be equipped is to be prepared for some task, to prepare for some function, to accomplish a certain role. And So the church is there, is here to equip us all, to prepare us all. I'm a registered nurse. I was once trained, I went through training to be a nurse, and I was equipped to do that work. And as I think about equipping, you get equipped with certain knowledge, right? Whatever it is, that's why many of us gone to tech school or to college, you get that knowledge that prepares you to do a certain thing. But then besides the knowledge, then you also get prepared with some skills to do certain things. As a nurse, it was to do certain things to people. It was to put needles in them or tubes in various places. That was a skill. So I was equipped with knowledge and then skill to do those things. And also we get equipped with motivation. Motivation, I think that's a key part of our role in the church, is just to keep us all moving together just by motivating each other to keep moving forward. So the church is to equip us. We get equipped by teaching, by instructions, in what God's word says, by application. What do I do with it? So I know, okay, it says that. So what? What do I do with that? By example, I see other people. And that's one of the most powerful things about the church, is being close enough to see others and how they live and how they carry themselves, conduct themselves in their family, in their work, and in interactions, so that we have an example to follow. That's powerful. And also we have opportunities to serve in the church. There's opportunities to serve and develop and grow our gifts and develop those skills, interpersonal skills, abilities to do things. There's all kinds of opportunities here in the church to serve, to use our gifts and talents. One more place I just want to share a verse from Hebrews, and it in Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3:13. Well, actually, I'll start in 12. It says, see to it. That's kind of a direction, isn't it? If somebody says, see to it, you're being given an assignment. It's kind of like, if you're leaving the kids home alone, you see to it that you do this or don't do that. So he's saying, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Okay, so he's saying, see to it that you're concerned about the folks around you. See to it that you're watching out for each other, that they don't have a unbelieving or a sinful heart. But what's the solution? But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. As long as it is called today. I like that. Every day is today, right? So we only need to encourage each other on days that end in a Y. The other days you can take off. But that verse tells us that the preventative medicine for a sinful, unbelieving heart, where we can get fooled, is encouragement from others. There's so many other voices that we hear, so many other inputs that seek our attention, that seek to tell us what's good and right and what we ought to be doing. There's so many other voices that we can get confused, we can get kind of off track, we can get tired, we can get cold-hearted. Oh, I can take this or leave it. But as I'm encouraged by others that I'm around, it can prevent that, keep me soft-hearted. Encourage one another as long as it's called today. So Jesus has established his church to make disciples, to share a message of reconciliation. Share a message of reconciliation in this world. And that's carried out in many ways. It's sometimes through meeting physical needs and making a way for the gospel, for that good news in a person's life. It's largely carried out person to person. It's you and I interacting with people, with individuals all around. But it's not done solo. It's together. We're better together than alone. And is the church a refuge from the world for refreshment, encouragement? Absolutely. But it's not a place to hide from the world. It's a place for you and I to be equipped to accomplish what God has for us. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have given us your word that still makes sense to us. God, thank you that you have equipped your church and you are equipping us. Help us to do your work. Help us to be about that. There's so many other voices, so many other things that call for our attention. We pray that we would desire most of all to be following you and to be making you known in this world, in this community. Thank you, God, for everyone here. Thank you that we have the potential to make a difference. Amen.